Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Alua, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogunte, Compound, Ode, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe.
This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013. And we ask that you please continue to support us and our sponsors. Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, please support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Brother Ali is doing some good work out of Detroit, so please support him as well. And you can find him on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. Also, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines in the families and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. We want to ask you to pay particular attention to what's happening in the state of Louisiana with Decarcerate Louisiana at this time at Angola Prison. Our brothers are on strike, a work stoppage, a peaceful work stoppage. They're desiring to have it peaceful, howsoever. We have a press release that just went out less than 24 hours ago that says that basically the guards there have assaulted at least one inmate on just yesterday, but several more previous days too. And so if you want to reach out to Decarcerate Louisiana, you can find them on Facebook as Decarcerate Louisiana. Their website is decarceratelouisiana.com and decarceratelouisiana.blogspot.com. You can email them at decarceratelouisiana@gmail.com. And there's a message number that has been established. You can reach out at 225-335-9529. But it's best to use their email address so their constituents can reach it directly. Again, there are six demands that they have put forth. One, we believe that all human beings are created equal and have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, regardless of their social status. Two, we believe in human rights and human dignity, that government has a fundamental obligation to protect all its citizens from slavery and human degradation. Three, we are demanding a national conversation inquiring how state prison farms across the country came to hold hundreds of thousands of people of African descent against their will. Four, we are urging that local, state, and federal governments who currently hold hundreds of thousands of African Americans on prison farms across the country be investigated for antebellum criminality, involuntary servitude, and slavery. Five, we are demanding an end to the systematic oppression and exploitation of prisoners and their outside family and supporters for profit. Six, we are demanding classrooms for our education and rehabilitation, not slavery. And they just added another demand less than 24 hours ago, so that would make it seven. It says, we demand that all press releases, coverage, and publications engage us in telling of our own stories. We demand our stories be told by reporters who are not racist, biased, bigoted, or pro-incarceration. We demand fair, equal, unbiased, and truthful reporting of what we are about. And again, you can find Decarcerate Louisiana at decarceratelouisiana.com, decarceratelouisiana.blogspot.com, on Facebook as Decarcerate Louisiana, and via email, decarceratelouisiana@gmail.com. So a shout out to our brothers who are standing up and staying down for their rights as prisoners to be rehabilitated, not just constantly punished and corrected. And so we are just getting into the nitty gritty, if you will, of this, what's going on in the state. You know, there are deplorable conditions that exist there. There are concerns on the treatment of inmates there. And so there's a reason why these brothers are choosing to do this. And it's not just to get attention. It is to call attention to their plight and their plea to simply be treated humanely and not have their human rights taken away from them by force. So we're going to go ahead and get into tonight's Listen and Learn session. We are featuring the great warrior ancestor, the Honorable Fred Hampton. Let me see. The documentary is based on Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton, August 30th, 1948 to December 4th, 1969, was an African activist and revolutionary, chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. and deputy chairman of the National Black Panther Party. Brother Hampton was murdered while sleeping at his apartment during a raid by a tactical unit of the Cook County, Illinois State Attorney's Office in conjunction with the Chicago Police Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation in December of 1969. A civil lawsuit filed in 1970 resulted in a 1982 settlement of $1.85 million. The music that you will hear is called Jive Conspiracy, and it's the original mix, and the artists who perform it are Wasted Chicago Youth. So I hope that you all will enjoy tonight's Listen and Learn session. And please, if you there are some Listen and Learns that you would like us to feature here on Sign of the Times, you can always reach out to us. You can give me a call at 513-913-2691. You also can find me on Facebook, find Sign of the Times, New Power Radio Network. Myself is Queen Tahira, at Queen Tahira on Twitter, and Queen_Tahira on Instagram. So reach out to us so we can reach back out to you. And again, please send any positive energy you have available to the brothers at Angola Prison in the state of Louisiana, as they are in the midst of a cease and peace work stoppage. And so, again, their phone number where you can leave a message is 225-335-9529, 225-335-9529, decarceratelouisiana@gmail.com, decarceratelouisiana.com, and decarceratelouisiana on Facebook. So enjoy tonight's Listen and Learn session, everybody. We're going to close out probably in about another hour and a half. So hang out with us, pen and piece of paper, as always, the teacher and me. All right, y'all. I love you. I thank you. And most of all, I appreciate and respect you and really appreciate the past 5 years of support that you've offered here on Sign of the Times. So we're looking forward to doing some exciting things, boots on the ground types of activities, not only in my city, but in your city too. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Salute.
I found this man laying with his head roughly the center of the bed, his body coming back like this. His two hands were laying over the bed like this, and just off or right below his right hand was a .45 automatic. Just a short way away from his left hand was a shotgun. I didn't know if he was how bad he was injured, so I picked up or I grabbed him by the left wrist, and I pulled him out into or onto the door, which had been used as a barricade. I then backed off again.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. I have the pleasure now to introduce who I believe is one of the baddest motherfuckers in the world. A man that did something that a lot of us ought to be very glad that he did. He was a part of making the only party which exists in the United States today that represents the people. As a matter of fact, he was one half. Him and Huey P. Newton sat out in 1966. Sometimes I think where some of us were in 1966. I think what we would have said if we'd heard about some niggas going out in the street talking about chance of God, fighting all them policemen because we didn't know they were pigs out there in the street. Right on. And I think I'm speaking for the whole party of the state of Illinois. I know I am. Right on. When I say that we love Huey P. Newton, we love Elvis Cleaver. We love Bobby Hutton. We love the Black Panther Party. And we love Chairman Bobby Seale. We love them because they were the first ones that took a stand against capitalism and racism and said that we'll fight it till the end. We said we draw the line somewhere, motherfucker. If you try to pass us, we'll blow your brains out. They were the first ones that came through with the program that was initiated for the benefit of the people. All those things that I named, the reasons why we love them are reasons that make it beneficial to us. But let me simply say, when I'm introducing Brother Bobby, that we love him because it's lovely to love. Tell me about the beat.
We here for some jive conspiracy. You know what we gonna do?
We are going to defend ourselves. Because Huey P. Newton said that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. What kind of phenomena? Social phenomena. What is a social phenomena? Black people, Mexican American, any kind of people, begins to learn that the social phenomenon is that, in fact, U.S. racist, decadent, capitalist, imperialist America is a police state. Right. That a police state exists here, that these pigs are doing nothing but protecting the average businessman and the demagogic politician, protecting the exploitative system that they got going. That, in fact, we are tired of it. We are sick of it. You've been brutalizing black people. You've been murdering and lynching them. Black people are tired of it. Black people's vanguard is revolution all of a sudden, and it's phenomenally correct also, but we are concerned with that social phenomena. We are concerned with that exploitation. We are concerned with the oppression that black people and all other peoples in the world who are suffering the same common oppression that we are suffering today. The thing is we have the ability to define it. Still, if we have the ability to define it, the only next thing to do is get organized. So when a pig walks up to you, or a pig gets a job with the people, you be so organized, you be learning some tactics, you be learning some revolutionary principles, you be having some guns hit out somewhere, you have some proper tactics. That when the pig gets a job with you, the pig gets wrong, you whoop your guns out on him, blow him away, and then you have the ability, in fact, you have made that pig act in a desired manner.
But for what? For a new system, brother. We need a new system. The people need a new system.
I sat yesterday afternoon next to Bobby Seale while he said that a federal marshal tried to ram a 4-inch piece of cloth gauze into his mouth. 3 marshals held his head. 1 marshal held his nose so that he couldn't breathe, and the 5th marshal attempted to press against his mouth with all his weight this gauze that ultimately resulted in Bobby bleeding profusely around the mouth and the lips as they tried to jam this piece of object into his mouth to silence him.
I'm so thirsty for revolution. I'm so crazy about the people. We're going to stand together. We're going to have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance in solidarity. We're going to have some progressive whites, all of us. And we're going to march on this pig pile of structure, and we're going to say, stick them up, motherfucker. We come for what's ours. Up against the wall. Power to the people. Thanks, brother.
going through all types of physical and mental torture. But that's all right, because we said even before this happened, and we're going to say it after this, and after I'm locked up, and after everybody's locked up, that you can jail revolutionaries, but you can't jail a revolution. Right. You might run a liberator like Eric Cleaver out the country, but you can't run liberation out the country. You might murder a freedom fighter like Bobby Hutton, but you can't murder freedom fighting. And if you do, you come up with answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain. You come up with conclusions that don't conclude. And you come up with people that you thought should be acting like pigs, just acting like people and moving on pigs. And that's what we've got to do. So we're going to see about Bobby, regardless of what these people think we should do. Because school is not important and work is not important. Nothing's more important than stopping fascism, because fascism will stop us all. We're going to see about Bobby because Bobby came and saw about us.
When I saw that he had 16 pieces of adhesive tape strapped across his mouth, when I saw the gauze around his head, when I saw that his ankles were strapped in leg irons to his chair and his hands handcuffed to his side, I knew that we would unite in this country to stop this outrageous criminal Nixon stampede over elementary human rights. We will free Bobby Seale and we will stop this trial.
A lot of people don't understand the Black Panther Party's relationship with white mother country radicals. A lot of people don't even understand that word that Elvis uses a lot. But what we're saying is that there are white people in the mother country that are for the same type of things that we are for, stimulating revolution in the mother country. And we said that we'll work with anybody and form coalitions with anybody that has revolution on their mind. We're not a racist organization because we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just it's a byproduct of capitalism. Everything would be all right if everything was put back in the hands of the people. And we're going to have to put it back in the hands of the people. Everybody in the state of Illinois is going to have to be involved or even around the revolution, because we're going to have one. We're going to have to do more than talk. We're going to have to do more than listen. We're going to even have to do more than learn. We're going to have to start practicing, and that's very hard. We're going to have to start getting out there with the people. And a lot of times we think we're better than the people. That's an insult, and that's criminal. It's going to take a lot of hard work.
Come on in, little brother. Come on in, little sister. Y'all can sit down and get something to eat. Y'all take off y'all's coats.
We need some more stuff out
here. Sit down, man. Everybody's going to need. Y'all can eat as much as y'all want to. Right on. Who wants to play? You want cereal? Who all wants cereal? One, two, three. Who wants cereal? Raise their hand. Anybody want some milk?
All right.
Whose milk is this over here?
What's drinking? His brother.
That's good for your teeth, man. It makes your teeth strong. Who left this milk over here?
That's what the Breakfast Charity program is. A lot of people think it's charity, but what does it do? It takes the people from a stage to another stage to another stage. And any program is revolutionary, is an advanced program. Revolution is change, unending. Just keep on changing. That's what we do. We take the people in there and take them through those changes, and before you know it, they are in fact not only knowing what socialism is, they don't even know what it is. They're endorsing and they're participating, they're observing, and they're supporting socialism.
Oh, you finna go to school now? All right. Right on. I'll power to the people.
That's the people saying. Socialism is the people. You're afraid of yourself. If you're afraid of socialism, you're afraid of yourself. You basically knowing my ideology, basically you knowing me, knowing yours, you can support some of our programs. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
And you believe in programs like the Breakfast for Children program and free health clinics. Right on, brother?
We believe they're good things.
Uh-huh.
As a focal point to organize their mothers and fathers.
Uh-huh.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.
There's no educational program here?
That's come out of social action thing. You know, you set that up, but I mean, we can't put everything on one piece of paper.
What about this bank?
Credit union?
Mm-hmm. Credit union.
Credit union, my brother.
Is a bank.
Are you hip to a credit union?
It is a bank.
Yeah, are you go and buy money?
Yeah. It's a bank. Owned by the people, run for the people, and by the people.
Mm-hmm. What would money be given out to people for?
Well, the people would decide that.
You want to buy,
you know, whatever, you know, the people in the community decide.
You need some living room furniture, maybe? You need a car, maybe?
See, the thing is with me, you dig, I need to know some more about it. I wish you had some more literature about the educational thing here. Because, you dig, as far as we're concerned in the struggle, the way we look at struggle is that this depends on the educational thing, you dig. Because
this depends on the education. Well, the whole thing.
No, but in the end, this does. You can form this with no education. You can form this.
No, not the way we're talking about forming it. You know, right. We're talking about forming it right. You know, it's not on the paper. We didn't write it on the paper.
No, form it right with no education.
No.
Let me give you an example. Jomo Kenyatta formed the excellent revolution with no education. And on the day of the end thing, Jomo told the motherfucker, I said, well, you know, you can educate, hate the enemy, but I'm your brother. I help you lead the revolution. Now I'm more oppression. Another example, Papa Doc in Haiti. Papa Doc in Haiti hated everything white. Man, you couldn't put this white paper in front of Papa Doc's face. But he moved all the white people out and he took over and be oppressed when he did. Causing no education. And the people that have been educated, they said that we don't hate the motherfucking white people, we hate the oppressor, whether he be white, black, brown, or yellow. So we got to know your educational program to find out what is going to be in the finale. A lot of people work. Jomo Kenyatta is called not a never a revolutionary, but an ex-revolutionary. So it's Papa Doc. They brought on a successful revolution. That thing in the Mau-Mau's was a bitch. Bantu freedom fighters, all that kind of action. What we're saying is, that it's the end. But you don't judge Castro now. You can't do it. Nobody in this room could judge whether Castro's going to be a revolutionary or not. You know what I mean? We're talking about things, you know what I mean, with China, the People's Republic, and even at the stage they're in now, talking about even going on further into a communistic state. That's what we're talking about. That was a revolutionary. So we got to understand here the educational program that you have to be able to figure out whether it will go on the right lines where the people will end up in a situation where they can be able to really control themselves. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, the people take this local foundation and start stealing money because they won't be really educated to why it's the people's thing anyway. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, you have neocolonialism instead of colonialism like you got in Africa now, like you got in Haiti. So what we're talking about is there has to be an educational program. That's very important. As a matter of fact, we are so important for us that a person has to go through 6 weeks of our political education before he can consider himself a member of the party, able to even run down ideology for the party. Why? Because if they don't have an education, then they're nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? They're nowhere because they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. You might get people caught up in an emotionless movement. You understand me? You might get them caught up in because they're poor and they want something. And then if they're not educated, they want more. And before you know it, they'll be capitalists. And before you know it, we'll have Negro imperialists.
Yeah, you see, brother, the reason we don't do a lot of talking is because what you say is foregone conclusion with us.
Yeah, well, see, brother, the reason I do a lot of talking is because there's no foregone conclusion with me.
Who are they programmed to be for us? You got black Easter, you got black Christmas, you got black brown all day, you got black April Fool. Ain't here for nobody but black businessmen. And I say that anybody that comes into our community and does in any type of situation that does not meet the needs of the masses, then I, Chairman President of the Black Panther Party, says that I catch that nigga by his collar neck and beat him to death with a black Panther paper. We not here.
Infant mortality rate, where you have lead poisoning, where you have inadequate medical service. We saw the basic need for free medical service, and we worked hard and worked over long periods of time in order to make that a reality. Now, up to this day in the black community, you have doctors there who are more concerned with private wealth rather than public health. The concept behind the medical center is that we would take the profits out of the medical profession. Our medical center is a direct result of the basic need in the black community for a free medical service.
You have this done about 3 days ago, you said? This is not the burned hand. This is another one.
Oh, okay.
Does it feel painful?
No, it's not painful.
Like it's infected and everything?
It's good. Looks good, yeah.
We got doctors every day this week. Next week, we got... No, we need one for next Thursday.
Come to the clinic tomorrow for an appointment.
What about, what are the chances of an ambulance?
If we can buy an ambulance, that's the best chance.
What about?
The idea is all right, but we just have to have money to get ambulance.
Well,
how much money? Can you use
ambulance? Yeah. I tell you, I'm going to bring a couple of pharmacists from the hospital where I am. They want to come out and see it, and they're interested in working, you know.
We can have patients come through, see a doctor. After they get through, get a test or what have you. Then they come in and see the people's advocate. That's a community person or person in the party who acts like a liaison between the center here itself and the community. He asks them what type of service they thought they got here in the center, you know, any other criticisms of the medical center itself. It's also to deal with problems outside medical problems, you know. The People's Advocate has a resource file. In this file, we have teachers, sociologists, speech therapists, social workers. You know, this is all part of resource
knowledge. Okay, well, look at here. You sit over here and thought about all that jail time he had behind his motherfucking back and say, I got the rap too. Our deputy minister of fiction, he got to say something. This is Bobby Rush, deputy minister of fiction for the state of Illinois. Bad motherfucker. You can tell the way that he used it, that Bobby, Kevin Bobby Seale feels the way about Huey P. Newton. I feel the same way about Bobby Rush. We didn't start the Black Panther Party, but we do know this, that we are some bad motherfuckers. The Black Panther Party don't remain in the state of Illinois. You know, sometimes we get to talking and I go to court, and they say, well, Fred, I come back and Rush said, Fred, we got to keep you on the street. Then Rush will go to court, he'll come back and I say, Rush, we got to keep you on the street. And after we just went back and forth, we decided that we like each other so well, goddammit, we both gonna stay on the motherfucking street. Yeah. Ain't nobody going nowhere. They ain't taking us nowhere. We gonna stay right here with the people. We're going to have to move, and we got to move fast, we got to move hard, and we're gonna have to move organized to be able to keep Bobby Rush on the street. They got our field secretary, Nate Daniel Jr., up against the wall. They got our Minister of Information chalked up against the wall. Everybody even got Chairman Fred up against the wall. Everybody against the wall. They even talking about giving folks 20 years. Talking about giving me 20 years. Dig it? For ice cream truck robbery. That's right. $71 worth of ice cream. 710 ice cream bars. I might be big, but I can't eat 710 ice cream bars. But even though they tried to give me all that bad publicity, they still came out in the end showing the true nature of a Panther. Because they said, I went into the truck, beat up this pig that was in our community exploiting people, took the ice cream bars from them, handed them out to the kids. Even though they made me a thief, they made me a Robin Hood type thief. Gave to the people. Here's a man that represents the people. Deputy Minister of Defense for the state of Illinois. Bad motherfucker. A brother of mine, a brother I've been working with a long time ago, continue to work with him. I'm going to eat with him. I'm going to sleep with him. I'm going to die with him. I'm going to live with him. I'm going to leave with him. Bobby Rush.
We're going to take the case to the people, and the people say that Fred is going to remain free, that Fred is innocent of anything against the people. He might be
guilty of fucking over the power structure, but we can relate to that. All power to the people, and we're going to move on this power structure, and like Bobby said, we're going to say, get up against the wall, motherfucker, because it's a hold up, and we came to get what's ours. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to organize a movement so big to make sure that the leaders of the Black Panther Party in this state are not political prisoners and are not exiled and not killed, that that movement is going to be so big that we might even have to go and get Huey P. Newton and let him carry a sign. We're going to have everybody involved. We're going to have everybody involved. And we're going to sign a thing called Free Fred. Don't that sound nice? Hey, let's do that. Free Fred.
People of Illinois versus Fred Hampton, the Honorable Judge of Life Society.
The defense will call this person in this.
I'd like you again to describe to me what happened, if anything, after you and Officer Duff had pulled onto the school ground.
I identified you as the person who grabbed me by the throat and held me down in the ice cream stand.
We were walking, looking through the crowd, looking for the one who would beat him up. And what, if anything, did he say when he saw me? Or what, if anything, did you say to him? Who said something first? He said it. That's him. I'll never forget his face. That's the one. Okay, now when that police car pulled up, what, if anything, happened?
Well, one policeman was on the outside of the car, and one was on the inside of the car. Officer Gunn pointed to Fred and said, that's the man that did it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream man said, yes, I think so.
So in other words, the officer pointed out he is being the person who had robbed this man, and in response to that, after that, the ice cream truck driver said, I guess that's the man.
That's right.
What race were these police?
One was white and one was colored.
Right on. Officer Dunn, do you know the defendant Fred Hampton?
Yes, I know Fred Hampton.
Do you know basically what Fred Hampton stands for? Politically.
No, I don't.
Officer Don, do you know the situation that poor people, black people and white poor people and red people and brown people are in this country today?
Well, not completely.
But you do know, that part that you do know, that part includes the fact that these people are being oppressed by some white people that like to oppress people to make profit. Do you know that?
Objection. Abstain.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you know that a whole lot of blood-sucking pigs are Do you think you're free, Officer Dunn?
Yes, I think I'm free.
No more questions, Officer Dunn. God help you.
So we always say to Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
We have brought to trial here Fred Hampton. You are here to judge between two conflicting testimonies. Somebody is lying. Now, reason stands. Reason is very clear here. That Private Jones, who had come from Sanford, North Carolina, would have no great desire to see Fred Hampton up in this trial. But Fred Hampton, a key figure in this community, has great reason for not wanting to be put in jail.
But the state's attorney and the state's attorney's office has reason to see Fred Hampton in jail. We've got a new state's attorney, you see. And he said already what he thought about people that had different political beliefs than he had. His speeches sound somewhat like those of Hitler. And we know why he wants to see Fred Hampton put in jail. Why do I have a lot of arrests? Because of harassment. Why is that harassment? Because the people that harassed me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently. And they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people. And if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization that will be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not, and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people. Right. And what makes them mad about that? They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They had them caught up in their movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire best. We think you fight fire with water best. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight it with socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of us people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
And that's saying all power to the people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back, because this is lower, this is upper, this is the oppressed, this is the oppressor, this is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves. They say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies and I hate Indians. So we're fighting amongst each other. And you've heard the testimony of pigs here, and you got pigs of all colors, you know that. You got pigs that are white, you got pigs that are black, you even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Hanrahan would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to keep you to believing that I'm your enemy, and that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Daley, and other than Tricky Dicky Nixon. If you make the right decision, then the oppressed people of the world will get complete satisfaction. I know you return a verdict of not guilty. Thank you.
Today is May 1st. UEP Newton, trial is up for appeal today.
Freedom! 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 Freedom!
Our chairman, Fred Hampton, has not arrived yet. The pigs are trying to incarcerate him. These are some of the things we have to deal with.
Somebody somewhere knows what happened to Fred this afternoon. So, Ted, you motherfucking pigs, get off your dead ass, FBI, and J. Who Egger.
Right on.
Then, and find Fred before 7 o'clock.
Right on.
Wait, wait, wait.
find Fred, motherfucker.
Right on.
Right on.
And if anybody's out there with him, that's harming him, or that's kidnapping him, and he happens to be a pig, well, then we just don't discriminate by whose ass we're going to
be. Right on.
Y'all go home now and breathe them pieces.
Right on.
Set them sights and whatnot.
Right on.
Raise them windows.
Right on.
And if we can't find Fred, we're going to give y'all a call.
Right on.
I know somebody's going to construe this to mean that we advocate people to go out and ride. You know? I told y'all before, you know, the riding just ain't no hip thing.
Right on.
So we want everybody, when they leave here, we got to leave here at 2 o'clock, I think. Hey, Pig back there, do we have to leave here at 2?
Ask him again.
Hey, Pig in the back.
Hey, Pig. Hey,
Pig.
Hey,
Pig.
Hey,
Pig. Hey, Pig. Hey, Pig.
Come on, check out that cheap pig, that old, decrepit motherfucker.
Right on.
And that pig might stay a little while longer.
So we put it on our head. Marxism consists of thousands of truths, but they all brought out in one sentence.
Fight and rebel.
Panther headquarters. A police raid is expected.
We're praying. The Hanahan leads the charge.
Make sure you don't get me no pig blood.
Huh?
Red.
All those folks at the window, when if atom bomb, tear gas is thrown, here's your water and your mask. Keep this on you all the time.
You know, I know a lot of people, you know, that hear things like this, see things like this, couldn't understand the motives behind it. Some of us young people, you know what I mean? I know a lot of people couldn't understand. Me, myself, you know, I was born in a so-called bourgeois community and had some of the better things you could say of life. And I found that even some of the better things of life for black people were too cool. And I found that it was more people starving than it was people eating. And I found it was more people didn't have clothes than they did have clothes, and I found that I just happened to be one of the few. And I made a commitment to myself that I wouldn't stop doing what I'm doing until all those people are free. A lot of times I wanted for it to be possible for people to be free under capitalism. I wanted it for socialism to be able to be brought about through means other than violent means. But those were times when I was trying to be subjective. I was looking at things and trying to make them the way I wanted to make them be. Because I didn't mind dying, but I just thought, well, everybody shouldn't have to die. What we're saying is that we're more than people that are for armed struggle. We're people that are for armed struggle for the purpose of bringing on the people's revolution, for the purpose of setting up initiatives of socialistic state, and for the purpose, secondarily, of advancing into what you could call utopia, or what we would call a communist state. We're saying that by observation and participation, by educating and by arming and by teaching the people revolutionary political power, we think that we as the vanguard can move those people that need to be moved that way. We can let those people ride our backs down the path of social revolution. And on and on and on, and finally, like we said, utopianism, what you call communism. We're very confident that nobody's coming in the front door. Nobody. No gas.
Nobody getting on the roof, Jim. I want you to know that. Nobody getting on the roof.
You believe in, what is it? Fire, cover, mankind?
The minister of health is going to be, the minister of health and doctor are going to be covering me after while I'm loading up.
Now, Messiah, in all the given situations, like when you're trying to frighten anybody, see, because, when you got Christ on him, and you got power too, you want it back.
What do you say? Yeah, but look here. What do you say about this building?
Building? Right over here on West, around the corner of West.
You know,
building, I think about 10, 12 stories.
It's higher than this.
Yeah.
Now, see, the only way we can get him is I'll shoot him. I'll give him more firepower. See, we can keep him pinned down. He can't get up and shoot. There's too many bullets coming at him. So the only way that we can get him is out shooting, put too much firepower on him where he can.
Okay, therefore, what you're saying is we got to eliminate, throw that process out of our mind by firing from the bouncers like that.
No.
You just
that and a whole lot of semi-automatic and automatic action on him over there, and he ain't got no time to fight nobody.
That's right.
Keep it down.
You might think sound reaction there on my part, man, but I just wish they would come tonight.
Yeah, well, I want them to come.
I wish they would.
I said the people.
Why don't you get a military viewpoint on how much chance they got of coming up here?
No, it's impossible.
What is there, it says? The difference between 20 million that's niggas right, and 20 million niggas on the hill.
This is impossible, man. I ain't bullshit. I ain't know. And I didn't realize it, man.
Double-oh-seven.
Yeah, Jack, but
we put Rush out there, and you, and he won't even be able to get up. Two ain't.
Hey, we aren't asking for no water.
No, but the way I see it, the people would have the first people's victory. Wait a minute, who was that?
We're drawing the line right here. Pigs will come, no fucker. They are not going to make us retreat. We're going to have somewhere, no matter how far we run, no matter how long we have to run, that when we reach that point, we're going to be able to stop and say in the voice and hearing the say it is, that, motherfucker, do what you thought, you dig? Because, I got my gun, motherfucker, and you got yours. And if you try to shoot me with your gun, motherfucker, if you try to take my gun, well, then, I intend to blow your motherfucking brains out.
We have, Your Honor.
What is your verdict?
We, the jury, find defendant Fred Hampton not guilty.
Chapter, Black Panther Party, 2350 West Madison, Chicago, Illinois. Press release, May 27th, 1969. Pig power structure and their lackeys, in another attempt of pig repression, have sentenced Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton to 2 to 5 years in prison.
While Chairman Fred is in prison, the police attack Panther headquarters. There are 3 Panthers in the office, 5 policemen are shot. The 3 Panthers are beaten when they run out of ammunition.
The revolution has come. Oh, it is time to win for us to come. Oh, it is time to win for us to come. Oh, it is time to win for us to come.
Oh, I am.
Revolutionary!
time who were attacked, man. They just, you can look at the women, man.
Was there a fire in the,
They said after they got to pigs at a fire, they
can't walk
it. They did it.
After they got the brothers down, they went back up there and the fire started.
Nobody was up there except the police when the fire started.
Frank, you want to come
get a picture of that dude? Yeah, check that door out, man. Magnified shotgun. Panther officers of the city recently. The Panthers, Cook said, has strict standing orders not to fire but return any fire directed at them. Injured man identified as Larry White, right on. An attendant at Cook County Hospital said they had head wounds and undetermined gravity. It was believed the man may have been injured while scuffling with police seeking to take him in custody. Right on, Pete.
He ran it. He jumped from the roof.
Right on.
We ain't going nowhere.
We say to Pig, Daddy, Hammerhead, Hanoran, Pig Collins, and the rest, no more brothers will be taken from us without cause. Chairman Fred is gone from the streets where his heart and his people are, but not for long. For the people's love for Fred Hampton is lovelier than lovely.
On the office, the community were all out there. They were in an uproar. They couldn't dig it because they know we are the people's party. We are working in the interest of the people. You dig it?
Right.
I'd like to talk about what we're doing because we're in the Black Panther Party. Yeah, we are. We are our propaganda unit. But we spend most of our time working with these programs and helping the people, serving the people. Huey P. Newton, our Minister of Defense, says that the Black Panther Party the organization like Action to be written by the people down the path of social revolution. You dig it? That's what it's all about. They jumped on our office because of these programs. And we putting these programs out for the people. You dig it? That's what they're for. The programs are the answer the basic needs and desires of the people, to let the people know that the Black Panther Party is concerned about the basic needs and desires of the people. They educate the people to the fundamentals of socialism and hiding the contradiction. That's what it's all about. And they're going to attack us because we ain't talking about the Black Panther Party is going to overthrow this government. We saying we're going to heighten the contradiction so the people can see the injustices that go on and the people can decide whether the government needs changing or not.
Members of the party, and I said, I don't know why I'm not scared. You know what I define as being? I define as being a people high. I define as being high off the people. You high? I'm
people. Sent me away to the penitentiary. And I went to the penitentiary way down in Menard, Illinois. I'm thinking, I said, well, I'm way down here in the country. I might can't hear no people. When I got to Menard, I myself, even being in the vanguard, had to get on my knees and learn from the people. I had to put my ear to the ground. And when I put my ear to the ground, I heard a beat. By anybody. We're talking about we're going to make some changes in this system. We know they have our pictures, we know they're looking for us, we know they want us, but we're still saying that even though we couldn't be in a fit, as far as this system goes, on the mountaintop, we in the Black Panther Party because of our dedication and understanding what's in the valley, knowing that the people in the valley, knowing that we originally came from the valley, knowing that our flag is the same flag as the people in the valley, knowing that our enemy is on the mountaintop, our friends are in the valley. We say even though it's nice to be on the mountaintop, we're going back to the valley. I be in the office every day. I'd be in the streets propagandizing every day. I'd be working with everybody every day. I'd be preaching that solidarity is the thing. The end of a complete wipeout of imperialism is the thing. So if you're going to be thinking about me, that's what Bobby would be teaching. If you're going to be thinking about us, all we say is we don't, ain't no thing about going nowhere, getting killed. All we want to know is that you're doing what we'd be doing if we were here. And you've got to do that. You can't do it unless you believe that you can do it.
That's where the journey was done.
Of the occupants in shooting at announced police officers emphasizes the extreme viciousness of the Black Panther Party. So does their refusal to cease firing at the police officers when urged to do so several times.
This is 2337 West Monroe, described by police as a depot for Black Panther Party arms and ammunition. 14 state's attorney's policemen, led by Sergeant Daniel Groth, found out indeed it was a depot for weapons. After a 15-minute gun battle that cost Illinois Black Panther Party Chairman Fred Hampton his life, Sergeant Groth described the raid as 15 minutes of hell and a miracle. A miracle because not one policeman was killed, a miracle because not more policemen were shot. The firing stopped only when the occupants realized their arsenal was no match for the police arsenal, an arsenal that included a .45 caliber submachine gun and two shotguns.
What they didn't understand, and what Edward B. Hanrahan doesn't understand, and what Richard Jolovec, his chief assistant, didn't understand, and what those police officers who put those two bullets in the skull of his head as he lay asleep didn't understand, and what Richard Nixon and his assistant lackey, Mr. Mitchell, don't understand,
is that you can't kill Chairman Fred.
Right on!
What they didn't understand is that anyone who would try to kill him is and shall ever be an enemy of the people. And that whoever would do that can only be appropriately called not a person, but a pig. Right on. What they didn't understand when they did that is that pigs die, but Chairman Fred lives.
You are the ones who are going to decide for yourselves what happened in that apartment on the morning of December 4th. You're going to decide whether or not Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were the victims of premeditated murder.
This time, there's no response from within. I take my revolver in my right hand, and I pound possibly 4, 5, or 6 times. A voice from within, a male voice from within, replies, "Who's there?" I respond, "Police officers, I have a search warrant. Open the door."
As soon as Sergeant Daniel Groth and Officer James Davis, who were leading our men, announced their office, occupants of the apartment attacked them with shotgun fire.
I wait several seconds. There's no reply from within. The door is not opened. I again take my revolver in my right hand. I wait a second or so. A male voice from within the apartment says, "Just a minute."
There was no response from the group. There was no verbal response.
The response from the group was the firing of a shotgun blast at our police officers.
There was no verbal response in addition to that.
The response to our police officers was the firing at them by a person in the apartment.
Didn't they ask who was it several times?
When the police officers announced their office, they were fired upon.
Didn't they ask who was it at the door?
I looked at Duke. Okay, Duke.
going over to about here, and I hit the door, and I go to the bed. Truth forces this door here open. Simultaneously with that, we enter. A shot rings out. Goose falls off in this direction. I enter in a semi-erect position. There's a woman lying on the bed with a shotgun, calmly pumping it, pointed in my direction, and fires. The fire illuminates her face. I get a very good look at her. I feel something go over my left shoulder. I then step back here. I look in, get up on my toes, point my revolver, look in again, cover my face, and fire several shots at the girl.
I heard a knock on the door. They said the policeman told us to open up. And my pops, he said, just a minute, he got up. And next thing I knew, they had busted into the door. They came in shooting. They shot me. They shot my clock.
This woman fires a shot. And she... The illumination apparently illuminates, or Dan's shooting illuminates a fella sitting behind the door in a chair. He's pumping his shotgun. I turn in his direction. I fired two shots at him. As the shots apparently hit him, he stands up. I stand up with him. We struggle. He falls down over the chair on the floor with his head facing the corner of the door here in the wall. I fall across his body.
This here is the room where the first brother, Mark Clark, was murdered at.
Don't touch nothing.
Don't move nothing, though.
We want to keep everything just the way it is.
Don't touch no walls.
Please,
though. Okay, this here is the door that they said the sister fired through with a shotgun. But if the sister had fired through this door with a shotgun, you could look at the wall out there and see some holes where the pellets had left out there. You can see no signs of a shotgun blast being fired through this door here.
Sir, you say your men were fired upon... Witnesses who have seen the apartment say there is no evidence of bullets from the direction where the Panthers supposedly were to be.
I said that after our officers announced their purpose and their station several times, they were fired upon from within the room.
We say this is nothing more than a fascist lie to justify the murder that took place in this crib here. This doorway here, which is absent of a door, the door has been removed and is now in the possession of our defense attorney, and it's going to be used in our case to prove that what happened here was nothing more than murder.
After days of maneuvering, Black Panther attorney Francis Andrew finally brought a bullet-punctured door panel to the inquest. However, a controversy immediately arose as to whether Andrew's panel was the same one that was removed from the Black Panther apartment. This is Andrew's version.
Which side is the outside, sir?
The outside, you're looking from the inside now.
Looking from the inside now?
Yes. Look out this side.
Is this the inside?
This is the outside.
It looks like the door is splintered on both sides.
You see that there is a hole up here, which none of the police in their testimony have mentioned. As a matter of fact, they have denied this hole up here. It shows a bullet coming from the outside to the inside.
The hole at the bottom there.
The hole at the bottom is a hole that was made while the door was standing wide open.
Assistant State's Attorney Nicholas Motherway says Andrew could have gotten the door panel at any lumber yard. Motherway's point was backed up at least in part by a police crime lab technician who examined the door in the Panther apartment the same day as the raid. The technician said, first of all, that there was only one hole in the panel the day he examined it, and second of all, he said that he couldn't be sure the panels were one and the same.
December 4th, 1969, at 10:54 a.m. My name is Skip Andrew, and I'm at 2337 West Monroe Street, Chicago, Illinois.
This door, which is the door entering into the living room, has two holes in it. This one I'm pointing to right here, 10 inches from the edge, and this one down here, 12 inches. The first one I referred to being 25 from the top, and the second one 36 from the top. Now, as you open this, there's also, of course, a knob door in this one. As you open this door, there's blood behind the door. The top hole shows that the bullet was incoming.
They fired through the door and hit the brother through the door. The brother fell here. Most of the blood is dried up, but you can see a little bit of it there and a little bit of it on the floor. The brother was shot 4 or 5 times, so after they came through the door, they shot him again to make sure he was dead.
Mr. Montgomery, Dr. Constantino testified today that Mark Clark could not have struggled after receiving that shot through the heart. Now, in your mind, does this contradict the testimony of Officer Davis, who described a struggle?
Yes. It seems to me that that was a very startling thing. We also learned that the bullet, which was in fact recovered from Mr. Hampton's body, was a bullet fired out of a carbine by Officer Davis. So that indicates also that Officer Davis may well have walked into that back bedroom, contrary to his testimony, and fired a shot into the body of Fred Hampton at one point in time or other.
There were six of us assigned to the back door. I came up on the back porch. I placed myself to the right of the door. I put my head down enough so I could hear if there was any conversation in the building. I heard people talking in the front, and then I heard a loud shot, sounded like a shotgun. I backed up and kicked the door open. I started in, and before I could get past the threshold, there were three shots fired from the rear bedroom. They were directed directly at the back door as I was coming in. I backed out again.
Only by the grace of God were one of our or two of our police officers prevented from being killed when they were fired upon as soon as they announced their office and knocking on the door.
On December 11, 1969, the Chicago Tribune carried a story that it characterized as an exclusive version from the state's attorney's office.
Why was the disclosure made in the Chicago Tribune?
Because that newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, in my opinion, gave a very balanced, fair report of the events that occurred.
It has nothing to do with the class of people or the type of people that buy the Tribune as opposed to other papers in the city?
Does anybody have a sensible question?
Included in the exclusive was a photo carefully circled to show bullet holes supposed to be in the back door.
The account that we made public yesterday gives a detailed explanation of what happened in that apartment. I stand wholeheartedly behind it as absolutely accurate.
There is one inconsistency in, well, for example...
I do not intend to quibble about that account.
Do you intend to get at the truth?
The account that we gave of the events is the truth.
One of the four pictures you gave the Tribune had two bullet holes on the right side of what was supposed to be the rear door.
Henry has lied before, and he's going to lie again. That hole that he's blown up in the papers is a hole of a nail.
Height close up of a nail head.
Plus a little bit of the door hasp.
Plus the door hasp. Mm-hmm. Now, here you see the large nail heads being pointed out.
I have said that we released the pictures. We have not characterized or described conditions that they portray, other than to say that that is an accurate portrayal of that particular object.
Do you know if any of the four pictures they received had portrayed bullet holes in any of the walls?
Another photo claimed to show the bullet-riddled door across from the bedroom. The officers testified that the Panthers fired into that door from inside their bedroom. In fact, the door in the photo was the bedroom door, and the holes in the door were made by police gunfire at the Panthers.
As you can see, the bathroom door is intact. Not only the bathroom door, but the entire wall area is intact.
There was a picture of the inside of the door to the bathroom, yes.
That door, our reporters discovered, corresponded to one on the front living room adjoining the bedroom. There were holes in the door. When the door was open, those holes corresponded to holes that were in the wall adjoining between the bedroom and the living room. And when they stuck a stick through the holes, they all matched up.
I make no evaluation of the pictures other than to say they portray conditions as they existed in that apartment at the time those pictures were taken.
This is the door that's supposed to contain numerous marks from a stray shotgun blast and small arms fire, which again was fired by members of the vicious like Panther Party, who are standing in this bedroom here, shooting out into the hallway here.
I urge your inventory of each of these vicious weapons. This attack by the Black Panthers on the police, plus the weapons which were recovered at the depot where they were storing them, clearly demonstrates the true character of the Black Panther Party.
Nobody, I have never denied that there was no weapons there. As a matter of fact, he would be a fool if he didn't have a weapon there, knowing the ferociousness of the pigs, how they just jump out of the cars and shoot you down, how they knock on your door and blow 19-year-old sister's head off with shotguns, how they kill two brothers in 1 week. And as a matter of fact, everybody that's concerned should have a something in their homes to protect themselves, because Hanrahan is a madman.
Mr. Hanrahan, can you tell me why your officers did not try to use tear gas? Isn't this the usual procedure to flush someone out of a building?
Our officers used the means necessary to effect the search and to prevent themselves from being killed upon after they were fired upon.
Isn't it true that your men usually use tear gas in situations such as this? And why didn't they use it this time?
No, that is not true.
It is not true?
They came with a murder on their mind, you see. Even if they wanted to take somebody to jail, it would be a simple matter of just shooting some tear gas in here to draw everybody out.
Exactly.
Right on. This is where our chairman had his brains blown out. And he lay in his bed, sleeping at 4:30 in the morning.
Someone came into the room, started shaking the chairman. Said, Chairman, wake up, the pigs are vamping. Still half asleep, I looked up, and I saw bullets coming from, it looked like the front of the apartment, from the kitchen area. And they were, the pigs were just shooting. And about this time, I jumped on top of the chair. He looked up. Looked like all the pigs converged at the entranceway to the back bedroom area. The mattress is just going. You could feel the bullets going into it. I just knew he'd be dead, everybody in there. When he looked up, he didn't say a word, and he didn't move, except for moving his head up. He laid his head back down to the side like that. He never said a word, and he never got up out the bed. The person who was in the room, they kept hollering out, "Stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant woman or a pregnant sister in here." At that time, I was 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. My baby was to be delivered in 2 weeks. Pigs kept on shooting. So he kept on hollering out. Finally, they stopped. They pushed me and the other brother by the kitchen door and told us to face the wall. Heard a pig say, "He's barely alive, he'll barely make it." I assumed they were talking about Chairman Fred. Then they started shooting the pigs. They started shooting again. I heard a sister scream. They stopped shooting. Pig said, "He's good and dead now." The pigs run around laughing. They were really happy, you know, talking about Chairman Fred is dead. I never saw Chairman Fred again.
Inflammatory statements and false charges against our office have been made by spokesmen for the Black Panther Party and others, despite the fact that the speakers had no reliable knowledge about the occurrence.
Well, the best account that I can give is the room that I was in and the actions of things surrounding me personally, you know. First thing I remember when I woke up was a knock on the door. And it was only a matter of seconds. In fact, I'd say it was less than 5 seconds that I heard, you know, shots. Now, the thing that struck me was that I not only heard shots, but I can see plaster coming out of the walls in my room. So I knew the bullets were coming through the room that I was in.
I stepped over, and I put the machine gun still on single fire, and I started from the left side of the wall
coming across, watching where the rounds were hitting, and I went over the girl's head, down on the other side of her, and continued fire across this wall.
One strange thing about this wall is this. The state's attorney's Gestapo rating pig say that they fired numerous slugs going up and downward, up and downward motion, attempting to avoid hitting the people in the apartment here. You notice that all these slugs are on a straight line. You also notice they all were fired at a low level, at about bed level.
Next thing I remember is someone, I think it was one of the pigs, told us to come out of the room. But there were still shots being fired. Now, I didn't know at this here time that people had came, were coming through the back door, but I took it that shots were being fired in the back of the house and at the front of the house. And, you know, they were all coming through the walls. The walls were nothing but plasterboard. And, you know, a bullet come through the front of the house and would go all the way through out the back. Somebody told us to get out, but I remember we were so afraid and bullets were still coming that we remained on the floor. I heard another pause, and then one of the pigs told us that if we don't come out, he was going to put something in there that would really get him out. The idea came in my mind that he was going to shoot tear gas or something in there.
We realized that there are still some people remaining in the front bedroom. We don't know whether they're injured or not. So I plead, and I conjure, I beg him to come out. Please come out with your hands out, throw out your weapon.
But the next thing I heard was a barrage of shots, real fast. And, you know, we were hit this time.
I started with the gun, still on single fire, being very careful and watching where each round hit on the wall. I walked them around the girl sitting on the bed and brought it all the way across the wall again. As I was doing this, Officer Davis was stepping up, and he starts firing across the wall from right to left. I put one shot in the door. I put a short burst with the machine gun on automatic fire into that closet. I fired four or five shotgun blasts into the bedroom. The second form, still coming up, caught a blast as the gun came further across the room.
They told me, to get up and walk. And I told them I couldn't. And then I think they hit me or did something. They told me they would kill me if I stayed there. So I kept trying. I managed, to get up. And I made a little hop. And I finally hopped out,
I am taking the word of our policeman over what we understand is supposed to be a version provided by defense attorneys and by the occupants of the apartment.
I was hit five times. I was hit two times in the stomach, one time in the leg, and I was hit a graze in each hand. Yeah. This is just a scar. I had to have a section of my colon taken out because of an infection, and I was shot over here.
I expect the general public to recognize the quality of these men's work, and the political consequences can take care of themselves. Of course I don't plan to resign.
You can change the story every time from newspaper to newspaper, from channel, one channel to another channel. You've had to change the story as we've brought up facts, truth about the evidence that he reportedly have given out, such as the nail heads, such as the bullet holes and whatnot in the walls. And it's only my conclusion is that Hanrahan, if he wanted to give an objective opinion about what happened here that morning, he would have to come to this apartment and find out, because he's dealing in a whole lot of subjective analysis, because the man haven't come to the apartment to find out what really did go down in the apartment. And we invite Hanrahan here to see for himself the evidence that we have shown to the masses of people and to the public.
Mr. Henry, have you been at the scene yourself?
No, I have not been at the scene.
Based on available evidence, namely the physical condition of the home and its contents, the physical condition of the remains of Fred Hampton, the search warrant was merely of the police was to murder and maim.
This blatant act of legitimatized murder
strips all credibility from law enforcement. In the context of other acts against militant blacks in recent months, it suggests an official policy of systematic repression. The pious statements of State's Attorney Hanrahan concerning the brave response of the police against the vicious Panther attack, and his allusion to the grace of God concerning the sparing of the policeman, only makes the situation more macabre and terrifying.
As an individual, are you convinced that the official version is a lie, that it is a case of murder?
Personally, I am.
Anyone who went through that apartment and examined the evidence that was remaining there could come to only one conclusion, and that is that Fred Hampton, 21 years old, and a member of a militant, well-known militant group, was murdered in his bed, probably as he lay asleep. It seems very clear to us that he was assassinated, and the police officer who did that assassination then walked away from it and said to other people, Bobby Rush is next. Now, all of you who know Bobby Rush know that he is the Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party and also one of our clients. And all of you also, I assume, know that Bobby Rush's apartment was broken into last night and also searched, but fortunately for him, he's still alive because he was not in the apartment.
Do you think if you had been in your apartment yesterday, you would have been shot by police?
Yes, I would have been murdered. I still think there's a great possibility of people trying to murder me. All the moves in the past, the mischief has been on the part of the police. They've murdered Fred Hampton. They're out to murder me. It's like they'll murder anybody that's black in this country.
Do you think there's going to be retaliation then by the Panthers?
There won't be any retaliation by the Panthers. I think that the time will come when the people themselves will take the power that belongs to them into their hands and move to guarantee life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We will not be forced underground until the people we really feel satisfied that we've done our duty, performed our duty to educate the masses of the people to the injustices that the power structure inflicts upon poor people in this country. All the mass demonstrations that young people endorse that this is happening right now.
Bobby, what's the next move for you personally?
There's no personal anymore. I'm the people's man. So I have to whatever the people decide. There's nothing personal about it whatsoever. And the Panthers will be there to serve the people's hands.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Of course, numerous people have attempted to make formal and informal investigations. With a report by the grand jury for the Federal District Court in the Northern District of Illinois, then I quote, "This report contains the findings of the grand jury after hearing nearly 100 witnesses and considering over 130 exhibits, including police records, photographs, moving pictures, transcripts of testimony before other bodies, voluminous investigative and scientific reports, and reports of investigative interviews with over 100 potential witnesses who were not called." And of course, among the main witnesses before the federal grand jury were the 14 raiders in the apartment, the police officers who were assigned to the state's attorney's office. The report tells us, contrary to some of their testimony prior to the grand jury proceedings, the report tells us that at 4 a.m. on December 4, Sergeant Groth briefed the 13 assembled officers and told them the location of the raid and that Panther Arms were involved.
Did you know that they were Black Panthers?
No, we didn't. We just knew that, or we were informed that there were guns and contraband in the building.
Did you have information that indicated that Fred Hampton might be there?
Not to my knowledge.
You just knew that there were guns and possibility of that these may have been Black Panthers?
All we knew is there were guns in there.
At this point, it appears that the people who are deceased were in the gun battle.
Oh, they were definitely in a gun battle.
I mean, they were firing at police.
Yes, sir. We saw the shots coming out of the two bedrooms.
Sergeant Groth, of course, from the beginning claimed, along with his fellow officers, that a shot had been fired by a young Panther woman in the far corner of the living room door as the officers entered the door. The report, however, explains the impossibility of this account given by the officers. Reading again now from the report from page 181, it says, "Groth, Davis, Jones, and Gorman," those are all officers, "all insist that a shot was fired by Brenda Harris at them as they came in the door. none of them could explain what had become of this shot, and it is not possible to draw a line from the southeast corner of the living room, where Harris was said by Davis and Groth to be on the bed holding the gun, out through the living room door, the entrance hall door, and the outside door. There are no holes in the west wall of the apartment.
Officer Carmody, when you knocked on the door, what happened?
Well, I didn't actually knock. I heard our officers at the front announce their office and shots fired. So I kicked in the back door, and as soon as the door opened, I could see shots being fired at us at the back door.
You have any idea how many shots were fired?
Quite a few. I have no idea. You
have any idea over how long a period the gun battle ensued?
It seemed like an hour to me.
Of course, the raiders would have us believe that they approached the apartment in a gentlemanly fashion, that they were attempting to save human life. They knocked on the door and they announced their purpose. They fired no shots until they were fired at. They called for a ceasefire on at least three different occasions.
Thereafter, three times, Sergeant Groth ordered all his men to cease firing and told the occupants to come out with their hands up. Each time, one of the occupants replied, "Shoot it out." And they continued firing at the police officers.
By their own testimony, they admit that for 12 minutes, for 12 solid minutes in those early morning hours, there was gun firing in that apartment. And yet the federal grand jury concludes that only one possible shot could have come from a Panther weapon. And that shot could have come through the door by a man who had just been shot in the heart. They would have us believe that even though there was only one Panther shot, they called for a ceasefire on three different occasions and didn't get it, and so they continued their firing. The great variance between the physical evidence and the testimony of the officers raises the question as to whether the officers are falsifying their accounts. Those officers fired 99 shots through the walls of an apartment where they knew people were sleeping. Murdered is defined in Illinois as follows: a person who kills an individual without lawful justification commits murder if, in performing the acts which caused the death, he knows that such acts create a strong probability of death or great bodily harm to that individual or another. Federal grand jury comes to its conclusions. Unquestionably, the raid was not professionally planned or properly executed, and the result of the raid was 2 deaths, 4 injuries, and 7 improper criminal charges. In spite of those conclusions, the report then goes on to say, the physical evidence and the discrepancies in the officers' accounts are insufficient to establish probable cause to charge the officers with a willful violation of the occupant's civil rights.
I want you to know that I want you to think. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not going to work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this because of the different reasons that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you're dead already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to repeat after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from splitting on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even if you live in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Timeline soaked in blood, I hear my ancestors singing wave in the water as we tread through this flood. I want to feel free, but the lines in my poems are haunting me. Black bone.
Every day reminded that I was born against the grain. In a world where the heart is so easily frozen. Collectively, I was withdrawn and broken to a million pieces. A fragmented life, that's us. More often than not, I hear my brother say, ain't no love in the city, not in the heart. So how do we love in spite of those who don't mean to offend but do? We're just black and brown mixed in this American stew. And that was all we loved.
Black bones.
Looking up to the heavens from a world of scars. Conflicting ideologies created by men. Tainted by sin. None of us as modest and clean as we might have been. So where's the love and mercy then?
Black bones. Silence has become louder than the cry for justice. Desensitized and no longer noticed the numbness. Too many blind sheep comfortable in their mental cells with no intentions of making bail. But I'm here to remind you, cells become tombs too. And I heard a prophet say that your silence won't protect you. Black bones.
Each decade we change directions, only to end up empty-handed with American dreams. Cause black smoke and black screens is all I ever seen on this American scene. Been alone like that character in the movie The Passenger. I was asking, have you ever watched life as time was passing you by? Taking snapshots of fading glory. Got me penning verses 151 proof and diving from the rooftops of clouds to digging deeper. Mentally, I was thinking, slavery was legal.
Black bones.
Then made illegal. And prison was created as a sequel to regulating lives and making money off of the poor people. Now with children's future now more than ever dangle over the flames of disaster like the true meaning of Gatorade. Little ones catching life sentences without chances for parole. Just cold justice on that railroad from school to prison. In society thinking that we ain't in prison because we ain't in prison. I'm just pinning the truth and defending it. Laughing like the joke on the suicide squad because it's like we really ain't got no voice. We really ain't got no choice.
Black bones. Black bones.